blessed by our message from Brother Taz Brighton. The subject matter will be the Jubilees. The Jubilees, something that sure has cheered and enriched our spiritual understanding of the Lord's plan for many years. And we just turn the hour over to you with the Lord's blessing and trust Him in His way on Him.
Just trying to appreciate being in the midst of the 2 days of fellowship, rest, reflecting on the Lord's providences and guidance, word, and so on, and the opportunity to use a better time for our review. I think that's what we'd, the best we can say we can do for you. Most of you have been as well about as long as we have. I've been going over these things, and so we just hope that our time together reviewing some of these things will be a help to each one of us. Looking at Matthew 5:18, this text has been quoted several times in the last 3 days here that we've been together, the last 2 days, and unless you know someone who's been reading the notes, but going from there, I will have a little further to take you on the line. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Well, this is a text that our Lord gave that was very significant. Told us many things about the studies or the situation we've been studying here for the last couple of days concerning the memorial, the Passover, and the types and shadows that we got into this morning in our discussion. And again, indicating to us that it's very important that all of these things transpire according to the way the Heavenly Father has arranged them. I'm going to leave a few copies or a few quotes to you from copies of the material you're familiar with. This first one is concerning this very same matter that our pastor's quoting on page 174 of the second volume. And our Lord said that not one jot or tittle of the law should pass away until fulfilled. He referred not only to the fulfilling of its covenant obligations for all under that law covenant, finishing its hold upon them by moving its demands against them and thrilled with his own life, but he meant more than this. He meant further that all the blessings expressed in it typically would also be sure of fulfillment upon an antitypical scale. In all the Jewish ceremonies, God caused no type to be made which will prove meaningless or pass unfulfilled, and the observance of all types was kept up until their fulfillment at least began. All types must be continually repeated until another type appear, for the keeping of a type is not the fulfilling of it. The fulfilling is reached when the type ceases being displaced by the reality, the other type. And so that's again bringing some of the focus to us, the importance of types and looking to see what do these types really mean for us. It's been said, and we'll read a quote later in our time together, it's been said that the law shows matters as they should and could have been, and prophecy shows matters as they will or have worked out. Now that's an important thing to keep in mind concerning many facets of God's plans and purposes. The law shows them as they should be, prophecy shows them as they are. Several lines of chronology to help us to understand the times and seasons that we're in. We're all interested in those. Times and seasons have been a great testing point among the brethren, and have also been a great blessing to the brethren, depending on how we may be persuaded in some areas and unpersuaded in other areas. several lines of chronology then to help us on this, but such as general chronology, and that's the large numbers grouped together to come out to the 6,000-year period. Nebuchadnezzar's vision of the Gentile image is another line of chronology that we've enjoyed, we've studied, we've appreciated. It's helped us to understand again where we are down here. And the parallels, and these, of course, paralleling the experiences, particularly typically through the Jewish arrangement, the Jewish age, as with our period down here that we're in, the ending of the Gospel Age, and the subsequent various parallels of time to tie these together and again helping us to see where we are. And then, of course, the Jubilee system. That's pretty much your lines of chronology that we can look to. Now, these are all interlocked and put together in many ways, as you know in your own studies. Some have overlapping periods from one into the other one. But we believe that these are all carefully documented in God's Word. If we can look to the helps we have, and if we look critically at the Scriptures as they've been given to us, it helps us to see how these are carefully documented there. In a general way, it seems to us that general chronology and the Jubilees are a little more closely related, while the image of the beast and Nebuchadnezzar's story and the parallels maybe are a little more related. At least that's what it appears to me. So let me focus on the Jubilees and then take a brief look first at general chronology. On page 2 of that is the numeral 2, the little 2 marks. Page 2, the volume 2 further, we find this sentence. The Bible chronology here and presented shows that the 6 great thousand-year days beginning with Adam are ended, and that the great seventh day, the 1,000 years of Christ's reign, began in 1873. Well, that's an interesting point, and we're going to take a closer look at that in a moment. It seems like that thought, the 1,000 years of Christ's reign began in 1873, well, one of two things, a slight slip of the pen, which we don't think that could be the case with our pastor. On the other hand, it might be that it's a kind of a general statement. And we believe that that's probably what the case was here. Looking at page 42 on the same book, where we have the various general chronological periods that you've seen many times, looked over the end of the flood, 1650 years, the fence of the covenant with Abraham, period of the kings, the judges, and so on, and then fence to AD 1873, that is, from the October 1st, 1872, and that was the end of the 6,000-year period. And so that's what we apparently had picked up over here in this this little foreword. But it must have been kind of a general statement, as we'll see as we look through this in just a moment with you. I think we all agree that 1874 was the date of our Lord's second presence. That may have been a question on that, October 1st, 1874. Well, that would show a different period in this 1872 matter here. We'll find a way, I think, to explain that when we get down to it. The 2nd volume, page 274, has this information. 234, I'm sorry. The Jewish harvest, in all the period of 40 years, began with our Lord's ministry and ended with the nominal Israel's rejection and overthrow and the destruction of their city, accomplished by the Romans AD 70. And the harvest of this age began with the presence of our Lord at the beginning of this great Jubilee, in 1874, as shown in chapter 4, and ends with the overthrow of Gentile power, AD 1914. Likewise, a period of 40 years, another one of those wonderful parallels in the two ages. Okay, showing that Jewish harvest was paralleled by the gospel age harvesting systems. That was the 1874 and the 1914 period. So, seeing then that he, in this first quote we gave you, the second quote that we gave you, he mentioned this, the Lord's Run beginning in 1873, and here he says clearly it was in 1874, we find a lapse of 2 years, a little difference of that, of those two figures there, and we think there's a good reason for this, and we'll discuss that maybe just a little later. So, now let's look at the Jubilees and see what we can find there that will help us to verify where we are and help us to be blessed by recognizing what this system really meant to us. The year of Jubilee was a Sabbath of rest and refreshing to the people and to the land. It was the chief of a series of Sabbaths, that is, first it was the Sabbath day and the seventh day. Once a year, seven Sabbath days reached a climax of 49 days, followed by a 50th day. This was known among the Jews as Pentecost. And again, all of these things carry the lessons up to our period, that is the general gospel age period that we've found ourselves in. But then on a larger scale, every seventh year was a Sabbath year, again culminating in a 7x7 cycle, followed by a 50th year, which was a year of Jubilee. Let's look at Leviticus 25:9-13, just to verify this to ourselves. And there's some information there that's helpful to us. On that particular text then, Leviticus 25:9-13, we quote, "Then shalt thou cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month, and the day of atonement shall you make the trumpet sound throughout all your land." Now note, this is in the fall period. This is their civil year that we're looking at here, whereas at this particular time now we're looking at their religious system year, when we're looking at the period around here, the memorial of the Passover. Reading on, "And you shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you, and you shall return every man unto his possession, and you shall return every man unto his family. A jubilee shall that 50th year be unto you. You shall not sow, neither reap that which groweth of itself in it, nor gather the grapes in it of thy vine and breast. For it is the jubilee. It shall be holy unto you. You shall eat the increase thereof out of the field. In the year of this jubilee you shall return every man unto his possession." There are some short verses that are just so many words to many people that have looked into God's word, but they're so meaningful to those who have looked into God's word through the telescope of the divine plan. They're so important to us, because in those we see sort of a thumbnail sketch of God's whole plan and how it's culminating the his glorification through the human families being blessed by having a part in this. Now, an interesting point, and we think this is designed of our Heavenly Father, the Sabbath days could be enjoyed in any place. That is, the seventh day of the week could be enjoyed in any place. There's no restriction on that. But the Sabbath years were different. They could be observed only in the promised land. And that's an interesting point, but it's a very significant point too. That's in Leviticus 25:2-4, just turn the page back a bit. "Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when you come into the land which I give you, then shall the land keep a Sabbath unto the Lord. 6 years thou shalt sow thy field, and 6 years shalt thou gather. 6 years shalt thou sow thy field, and 6 years thou shalt prune thy vineyard and gather in the fruit thereof. But in the seventh year shall be a Sabbath of rest unto the land, a Sabbath for the Lord. Thou shalt neither sow thy field nor prune thy vineyard." So they had to be in the promised land in order to keep this 50th this jubilee of these Sabbath years. Those months available to them are not part of their own. We believe this is the special design of our Heavenly Father in the matter, and it was to enable us to have accurate chronology to use. And again, looking at Israel's Jubilee year, there's a very fine treatise of this on the Overland Monthly, and this begins on page 84 and goes through about 88. So a real fine treatise on the Jubilee, and it helped me a lot to really get this all together, to really understand what this Jubilee system meant and exactly why it was given to the nation of Israel. Then we're quoting, undoubtedly the Jubilee year was a wise and beneficent arrangement for God's chosen people by Jehovah, their great king. It was more than merely an economic arrangement for the prevention of the accumulation of property in the hands of the few. It was also typical, and in this he has this in italics, it was also typical of the great times of restitution of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began, quoting from Acts 3:19-21. Let us first examine the Jubilee as a social and a financial arrangement. Then he goes on to the matter of the arrangements in the social matter of them having property that would be lose its value as it got closer to the 50th year, and it goes into how fair this was, because it worked the same for everyone, whether they owned the property or whether they put their property in mortgage, and how this took care of the situation, probably something close to that we have in our bankruptcy laws of the day, although a vast difference in many ways, but again, a situation where someone who found themselves over-encumbered could finally work their way out of it. In their case, it was by a matter of time, just waiting to that 50th year. They knew they would be restored to their particular property that they had. But over and above this, of course, they would be free from slavery and so on. All of these things are so significant when we look down at what they removed the human family down here. But Israel did not particularly care for this arrangement that gradually fell into disuse. Well, that was to their detriment that this happened, that they would have been better off had they stayed with this arrangement. But this, as well as many other facets of the arrangements that were made for them, didn't quite suit their penurious nature, and so they wanted to do something where they could do better for themselves than just doing what God had arranged for them. Now concerning the chronology on page 42 that we looked at, from down to the creation, from the creation of Adam down to the 6,000 years. To the end of the flood was 1,656 years. To the covenant of Abraham was 427 years. To the Exodus and the giving of the law was 430 years. The end of the division of the land was 46 years. Now, upon entering of the land, it was 6 years before the division of the land, so this has to be deducted from this particular period, leaving 2,553 years. This is a longer period than that. But this was 1575 B.C., or before the zero point, that's before Christ, and then 80 is when we're afterward. So that was 80 B.C., 1575. Now that, we believe, is where the Jubilee began, after they entered into their land. So then we add to this 2553, we add up the 6 years, the period of the judges, 450, the period of the kings, 513, and we come to a period, a total of 969 years. And this was up until their captivity by Nebuchadnezzar. We stop here because this is where the 7 years desolation of the land began. And probably that is one of the most significant parts in helping us to arrive at an accurate chronological figuring out of the system. Why is this important? Well, let's look at 2 Chronicles 36:11-21, and we'll get more of the picture as we look at this particular text. 2 Chronicles 36, 11 to 21. Zedekiah was 1 and 2 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. He did that as he was a Jewish king. He did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, his God, and he humbled not himself before Jeremiah the prophet, speaking from the mouth of the Lord. Then we look at 2 Chronicles 36. And he also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, who had made him swear by God that he stiffened his neck and hardened his heart from turning unto the Lord God of Israel. Moreover, all the chief of the priests and the people transgressed very much after all the abominations of the heathen, and polluted the house of the Lord which he had hallowed in Jerusalem. The Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up between times and sending, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God. They despised his words. They misused his prophets until the wrath of the Lord, that is Jehovah, arose against his people, till there was no healing or no remedy, as the scripture states here. Therefore he brought upon them the king of the Chaldees, who slew the young men that they served in the house of the sanctuary, had no compassion upon young man or maiden, old man, or him that was stooped for age. He gave them all into his hand, and all the vessels of the house of God, great and small, and the treasures of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king and of his princes, all these he brought to Babylon. And they built the house of God, and they built down the walls of Jerusalem. They built all the palaces thereof with fire, and destroyed all the goodly vessels thereof. And them that had escaped from the sword carried he away to Babylon, where they were servants to him and his sons, until the reign of the kingdom of Persia. And then the significant statement that we're looking for here, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths. For as long as she lay Sabbath, as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. The Lord had determined that there would be 70 Sabbaths. So that gives us a key. During the 969 years, we just went through that here on the prior page. During that 969 years, Israel was in Canaan. She could have had 19 Jubilee years. Remember the quote we found up here in the overall monthly. Israel didn't particularly care for that arrangement and gradually fell into misuse. So she could have kept those particular 19 Jubilee years, but even that was known imperfectly. But she was given credit for that in one sense of the word, and another arrangement, but in which she did not do this properly, the Heavenly Father enforced upon her 70 years of Jubilee, 70 years. So the Heavenly Father said, we've done a lousy job, we haven't appreciated it, so we're going to give you all of these and one fell swoop, one shot here together, and that's for 70 years captivity. She misused these privileges, and her half-holding kept the Jubilees, so the Heavenly Father gave the land its 7 years of rest, all grouped together, to fulfill his word. He let the nation become captive of Babylon for 7 years. Okay. Now, we read earlier about the necessity for every jot and tittle to be fulfilled. The type ceased, we believe, at that point, because she was taken away from there, and there's no reason to go on with the type. There's no way that the Jubilees could be kept. She was outside of the land. And so that Jubilee typical cycle ceased, and the antitypical cycle had to begin there. Now it seems obvious that the 7x7 accumulation to 50 would be used no more, so the divinely indicated method of 50x50 would commence to count. This typical cycle was broken down in captivity. So, 50x50 comes to 2,500 years. Okay, that's simple mathematics. That's not impossible to understand. So we want to extend the chronology from that point. From the last Jubilee to captivity was 19 years to the BC AD break point. the 606 years, 137 years of captivity, and 536 other years, to the beginning of restitution was 1,875 years. So that brought a total of 50 by 50 or 2,500 years. So that brings us on that 50 by 50 cycle, that because of the fulfillment of all the prophecies and all the information that's come to us, we can see how that has worked out so beautifully in 1875. October 1st, 1874, then began the 2,500th year, and that would mark the great 1,000 year of rest or restitution going on into 1875. Now let's go back to that 2 years just a moment and take a look at that 2 year span from 1872, that is 6,000 years from Adam's creation, to October 1st, 1873, into 1872. And then look at 1874, the Lord's presence. So first he said that was the period when Christ's reign had begun in 1873, but then he said on the other one was 1874, which I think we all agree with. Why the 2 years? Well, it seems obvious, at least to us, that restitution was not due to begin 6,000 years from Adam's creation, because Adam was perfect. That was due to begin 2 years from the fall, or 6,000 years from the fall, which we understand to be 2 years. And 2 years later, that is 02, or 4126 B.C., however you want to call it, that was the beginning of the fall, and so that bringing us up to 1873 would be the 6,000 years. So that's when the mankind made restitution, when Adam fell, not when he was created 2 years earlier, perfect. And it seems reasonable, at least in my mind, that is a way to answer this two-year period that's elapsed that has created so many problems for so many brethren. When we have a quote such as this, that the land was to begin in 1873 and so on, then it creates more problems. But I believe that is the way to answer that. At least it certainly is to my way of looking at it, my faith, that the 2 years was because of the period of creation and perfection, to 2 years to the fall, to 6,000 years, 1874, when restitution needed to begin, a 6,000-year period. We're looking at the 6 days and the 7-day arrangement, carrying out the Jubilee arrangement of the six of the ark and the one of rest and so on, which we've used on the total creative period of the whole arrangement of the earth for humanity's habitation and so on. So, in using that and carrying it out, it works out beautifully then at the end of that 6th day, mankind needed restitution. And we believe that's where it began to work in the sense of working toward the inauguration of the kingdom. Now, we suggested earlier that the law shows matters as they should be, and prophecy shows them as they will occur. And we'd like to read you a little quote from this Overland Monthly on that matter. This is quoting the exact statement. The law sets forth things exactly as they should be. The great cycle, 50 by 50 or 2,500 years, should begin just where the typical Jubilee ceased, as we have just seen. But prophecy shows matter from another standpoint. It foretells matters just as they will occur. Thus, through the prophet Jeremiah, the Lord informs us that the total number of Jubilees would be 70. The total number may thus be counted in two different ways. We have seen that 19 Jubilees were observed unsatisfactorily. These deducted from the 70 that was designed by the Heavenly Father leaves 51 of the 7x7 cycles to be fulfilled. But since the Jubilees were not observed, these cycles only without the 50th year should be counted, and these were 49 years each. 51 times 49, 2,499 years, would therefore represent 51 cycles without Jubilees. As of the 19 cycles with Jubilees, this would make 19 times 50 or 950 years. Thus we have a full 70 cycles shown, and 2,499 plus 950, we which is 3,449, which is the number of years from the first jubilee on Edwin Keeneland to the close of the year 1874 A.D. So we reach the same date as by the law method of counting, by the way it actually worked out according to prophecy. This is one is on page 88 of the Overland Monthly, and it's a beautiful treatise on the jubilee. If you take it and digest the whole thing, you can have a very fine grasp of what the jubilee is about. But it would, somebody wondered, why would they use the 50 by 50 arrangement? Well, because they designed this 70 cycles, 1 year each, the only way we could get to that would be going to the divinely inspired method of reckoning, that is going to the 50 by 50, because obviously the short periods they had did not fulfill this whole arrangement as the Heavenly Father had designed. And so we come to the other part of reckoning, and we believe that's the divinely inspired method to help us to understand where we are in the Lord's presence, 1874, and so on. Now, the calculation then, according to the law and the 50 by 50 method, again, would be the 50 cycles times 50 years, or 2,550 plus the 950, or 3,450, which works out to land in the same thing that the prophecy showed, the 3,449 coming to the year 1875. According to prophecy, there's 1950-year cycles and 150 years imperfectly kept. 51 cycles, where we drop out the 1 year, and then we come to the same arrangement. What means do we see toward restitution? Well, I think we can probably spend most of the afternoon here discussing with you the moves for restitution that we've seen in the human family's arrangements. All of the things that we have, and such kind as mentioning this in our discussion last evening in the home, and all of the blessings that the Heavenly Father has given us, and knowing all these blessings are all the detriments to us. Maybe we'd be better off if we could get right down to the bare essential situation. Maybe we'd have a stronger feeling of reliance on the Heavenly Father. Instead of it's so easy here, when I get my cars, we'll be home in 3.5 hours after the service today. Now, if we had to do this with a team of wagons, team of wagon, or a stagecoach, or horses, or foot, or however you may want to look at it, then even if you're a train system that they used to have, it would be much different than this. And so, we have things so easy in so many ways, and yet if we properly use these things to the Lord's benefit, to the Lord's benefit, to the Lord's glory, how wonderful it is that we can help each other to learn more, to see more, to know more. All of the information that's been given to us is for our help. It's for our upbuilding, if not for our upbuilding between us. Well, I see this point this way, you see it that way, and look, we're not going to agree with each other here, so you know that we're not going to know it. No, it's not like that. Certainly we want to stay close to the divine word. We want to stay close to the helps that have been, we believe, divinely inspired. And certainly the Heavenly Father has given us so much, so that we can understand so much about his program of rehabilitation for the human family and for the part that we have in it as a part of the new creation. We have to use this to the glory of God. We have to try to prosecute our consecration to keep on keeping on, to encourage our brethren to do the same thing, and not to slack off or lay down or take it easy or have complacency or be relaxed when we should be doing and working to our salvation and for our brethren. So we see seven moves toward restitution, don't we? The Jubilee cries of the last century, and particularly the last 7 years, are the poor human family. Yes, indeed. The time of trouble began on time, didn't it? 1913. That holy system of the divine arrangement for the Gentiles came to an end. The great time of trouble began there. The the so-called First World War that continued over the Second World War, and this continued on down to now. I've run all of a part of this matter that tends to seem to me, at least, to be a part of Jacob's trouble. Now, this is thought to be something of a finale-type nature. Now, I'm sure that's correct, but it's kind of hard to think of Jacob not having trouble when 7 million of them were killed in about 6 or 8 years. That's a lot of difficulty. So we're in that time when although we have all the blessings that are good, that are helpful, we have sanitation, we have good homes, we have warm clothing, we have good jobs, we have seen all about anything that we need and want. Yet on the other hand, it's brought about in the scientific and the military and the political world, there's weapons of destruction, there's means of communication where they almost know what the other guy is thinking, and they try to get the jump on him, they try to have bigger bombs, they try to have more of this and more of that to overwhelm the other countries so that they don't get the jump on us. All of this is part of that great time of trouble that began in 1914 and that's still continuing down to where we are now. The terror systems of the world, there's no way that that can be controlled. All the governments together can control it, even if they are working together rather than a part of them working against it and a lot of them working for it. They still couldn't control it because there's a little less of them here and a little less of them there. And there was a system held by an army would run and go through a country and there's a front line and everybody in front of us was an enemy and they'd take care of it and that there's nobody behind that would get into trouble. It isn't that way today. There's no way that you can be one front line situation who would wipe out the enemy on the other side settled because the front line is everywhere. It's the little kid in some country that might slip up and drop a hand grenade in your pocket and pull a pin. This is all a part of the terrorist movement, all a part of where we are today. And so in spite of the wonderful arrangements that the Heavenly Father has given us for all of these restitution blessings, begun by our Lord's presence, by calling out a people for His name, finishing that arrangement, by the resurrection of the sleeping saints, and by the harvest arrangement, whereby that system, the religious system, is green rather than clean of its wheat. And down to now, we see that we're in the times of restitution, but what a mess the world is in. All according to prophecy, all according to what Pastor Russell told us was going to happen. Every man's hand against his brother. Something we're not looking for, it's something we're in and we have been for many years. Yes, so many moves toward restitution. Evidence is the church state systems are growing. Brother Russell said that the systems of Europe, the church state systems that existed in 1914, is actually the arrangement of the filling out of the system with the Gentiles. All the sweatshops, as far as the workplaces, have been eliminated. Labor-saving devices everywhere. All of these things show us where we are on the screen of time. And again, brethren, we want to encourage you to keep on keeping on and to work toward fulfilling your consecration vows in order to come off more than conquerors, because that's the very best thing that you and I can do to help your human family and to help each other. Now, we can't go out and join some movement that's going to help the poor and it's going to feed the hungry of the world and go on and on and on. We can spend all of our time and money on this, and it's too late. We'll be a drop in the bucket. But our job, my brother, is to be conquerors, to come off more than conquerors, because our Heavenly Father is giving us all of those privileges together. Finishing the quote then on that Overland Monthly, I like this last paragraph. The whole world, as well as Israel, has an interest in the Jubilee and its restitution of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all His holy prophets. But to Israel, the restitution blessings will come first. After the stress of a great time of trouble in which the chosen people will have their share, the time of Jacob's trouble. The millennial blessings will begin with Israel, and all others will be restored as at the first, and their judges as at the beginning, Isaiah 1:26. The Lord will receive guidance and control and blessing and uplifting and restitution of all the willing and obedient, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. Zionist movement and the restoration of Israel as a nation, and we've seen all of these things. And now we're just down to that final phase of Jacob's trouble, when all of these things will be finally and fully and completely dissolved, to the setting up of the human governments through the ancient worthies, the worldly government through the ancient worthies, not fallen human governments, where God's restitution blessings will reach every possible human being that's ever been on this earth. The beam that shines from Zion's hill shall lighten every land. The king who reigns in Salem's towers shall all the world command. You expect to be a part of that king in Salem's towers, dear brethren. Keep on keeping on. May the good Lord bless and keep each one of you as you seek to do his will.
It's a blessing, I think, to all of us when we understand and appreciate that the Lord not only provided us with the basic instruction in righteousness, righteous living, but he also did his doctrine, and he provided us a chart by a way of which we can chart our way through time chronologically, and when it all comes together, and the topic may have been just the Jubilees. If you were like me, there was more than the Jubilees that have been covered in this last hour, and we appreciate the refreshing of our minds.